This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. There is a lot going on in regards to the National Football League, and we've got a lot to talk about, and it starts right here at home. As we told you last week, with the start of free agency on Wednesday, a lot of these deals are in place. They don't all become official until the start of the new league year, but today the news dropped, and our buddy Zach Klein broke the news over at WSB. Thanks to Todd France, who is the agent of Grady Jarrett, Mike. He will not return. The Falcons are releasing him. They're going to save some money on the cap. And this has been a big topic of conversation for us on this show. I mean, guys, leading right after the season, we kept saying, here are the big players on this team as far as cap hits. Who are you keeping? And the Falcons make a tough decision today.
Yeah, and I don't know if you've drawn any correlation to the fact that here it is, you know, Monday, you know, around midday, they finally do decide to move on. So were they really, you know, trying to hammer out some kind of deal? And Grady's camp is like, nah, I can't accept that. So obviously, you know, you don't want to lose a guy like that, a glue guy. I mean, it goes without saying. A leader, the captain of the team for all intents and purposes, you know, a guy that sets the tone. But we said it, you know, and you and I were talking about some listeners last week that just didn't want to accept it, you know, and the sentimentality creeps in for obvious reasons because he's the kind of guy you want to see retire as a Falcon. But he was a guy that was a big hit, big number. And when the defense is as bad as it is, I guess two ways of looking at it, Carl. It gets even worse now, or you really have no one who's irreplaceable when your defense is that bad.
Is this part of the Kirk Cousins effect?
Kind of, maybe.
Look, they've paid him a lot of money last year. We're going to ultimately pay him $90 million by the end of this season, win, lose, or draw, whether he's here or not. And, Mike, you're still talking about a two-more-year investment in some way, shape, or form. And we paid all this money up front. And I'm not saying that this is solely on Kirk Cousins and his deal. What I'm telling you is, if we were not in this predicament, do you think that Grady would still be here? And I'm going to tell you guys, I think he probably would be.
I think they try to. I think it would be a little bit more doable. Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing. Another idea, if you hadn't, you know, gotten in bed with Cousins and you just spent that money on defense, how much Grady may would have popped last year. And Grady would have been, he would have shown you why you want to keep him around because you got to have a supporting cast. I heard Randy made a great point. Hopefully Grady goes to a place where he's playing with guys who are as good as he is. He has not been able to do that. I mean, since 17 and then the injuries and everything else in the last subsequent 6 years and 7 years, he's just been on a bad football team. He's been a good player on a bad team. But these are the hard decisions everybody's making around the league, guys. We're not alone. It's not like, oh, cruel Falcons. I mean, everybody else is having these kind of come-to-Jesus moments with their cap, too.
Yeah, it's not necessarily about the decision. It's what you do after the decision.
Right.
It's what do you bring in to replace Grady and how do you move forward with a plan. And listen, you don't do this unless you have a plan. And I got to tell you something. Grady's team doesn't accept whatever the Falcons potentially offered in trying to get a deal done because from what I'm hearing, that is what happened. But it wasn't the number in which both sides could agree on. So Grady's going to go somewhere else. Mike, he's going to get more guaranteed money ultimately. And hopefully, as you said, maybe he goes to a really good team. And we wish him nothing but the best. But at the end of the day, somebody said to me, Dukes, well, why didn't they try to trade him for picks? Because don't we need picks? Well, you also need a trade partner. And you need somebody that's interested in trying to do this deal and also signing him for the future money that he wants.
Right.
So it's not just what Grady trading for Grady. It's also, hey, moving forward, here's what Grady's looking for, even if the Falcons didn't want to pay it.
Right.
So that's why they didn't do a trade.
Correct. And some folks might look at Grady and have the same conclusion the Falcons did. He might be a guy they feel is on the decline, and they're willing to take him, but not for the kind of money that the Falcons were paying him or he was trying to get from the Falcons. Only time will tell. Hopefully Grady does land on his feet with a good deal for him. But one thing for certain, like, they did give him a second big contract. I mean, it's not like the Falcons did Grady dirty by any stretch. I know sometimes we get folks who just always feel that the man is hassling their favorite player, but I don't think that was the case here. I mean, unfortunately, we've had some cap hell, and we've had some bad football teams that Grady's been a part of, and when you're this bad, you got to make these kind of decisions moving forward. Part of the solution, potential solution, is a fellow Clemson Tiger, Rook Arororo, is really freaking good and is going to live up to why you moved up to get him in the second round, and he damn well better be.
I think he is. He's got to prove it, but I do think he'll be a major key cog in this defense. This hour is brought to you by Padley Guys. Sell your home for cash fast. PADLYBuys.com as we talk about all the deals that are being done around the NFL. And so for us, Mike, this is one part. The other part is, and by the way, they're not done. Some other things are going to come out and some other moves will be made. And again, you know, restructuring Jake was nice. By the way, what did you think of that? Restructuring Jake.
You know, we didn't really talk much about Jake. We just kind of figured that was going to kind of like they were going to let that play out, and we thought maybe they'd restructure Lindstrom to create, and maybe they may still, you know, move some money around with him or AJ. But look, Jake has been a guy you don't think about. I said to Carly, I think it was last week, we said he's like electricity. You don't notice him until he's gone.
True.
But he's been solid. You know, I mean, look, his dad was one of the all-time greats to ever dress out, and his son's carved out a hell of a nice NFL career, but he's been steady Eddie for this team, so good for him.
The other part is obviously the Kirk Cousins part, and we do not know. We continue to hear, you know, oh, when's this going to get when's this going to happen? When are they going to try to move him? Guys, the Falcons are dug in, and after the meeting last week with Kirk Cousins and our owner, Arthur Blank, his wishes have been noted. But it doesn't mean that they absolutely have to move him to a contender or somewhere he's going to be a starter. They would rather pay him $100 million for 2 years and have a quarterback with insurance behind Michael Penix. And I know that sounds crazy, than just cut him and take this enormous cap hit.
No, look, to a degree, it's a game of chicken. It's a game of poker. And, you know, you might not understand, you know, why are they saying what they're saying? Because they're trying to create a sense of, yeah, we're prepared to take him through the season. I don't think there's any way in God's green earth that Kirk Cousins is on this roster on August 1st when camp opens up, right? Or end of July. But they've got to try to create a sense of, you know, perhaps they can finesse a deal. Look, if you could get anybody to come with any amount of money to take sort of less than that cap hit, that's a net win. And if you can throw in a draft pick, albeit a fifth rounder, fourth rounder, whatever you get, that's a hell of a lot more than we were thinking about a few weeks ago. It's just, and I saw them, they were talking about it on NFL Network, basically the same conversation you and I were having the last couple of weeks. You know, it's like, man, he tried to strong-arm the Falcons by playing this BS game down in New Orleans, and then he goes cap in hand to Arthur, I really want to go to a starter. So, you know, to me, it's just further example. I don't know if it's a charmed life that Kirk has lived, Carl, thanks to his agents to being one of the best in the business. But Kirk basically feeling he can screw a team over and there's no kind of, you know, punishment or penalty phase. So I don't know if he told Arthur Blank he's willing to, you know, take a little bit less or whatever just to get off the, I don't know. I don't know what his camp's intention. I mean, I know what they've tried to do, but it hasn't worked yet.
404-726-0929. It is our text line. It is also the number for you to call in if you wish, and we'd love to hear from you as a lot of this stuff is playing out. I am curious to know, and Chris, we'll take a few phone calls about how people feel from Grady. I've gotten mixed reviews from the little response that I've gotten since some social media is down today. and it's been...
Yeah, I hope they can fix my app because it's really not a good time for this to be down.
It's been... I like the move, and I respect the Falcons making tough decisions. Everybody that I heard from, all six people, said they love Grady. Everybody appreciates what he's been, you know, to the city and certainly what he's been to the team. But in that same sentence, Mike, they all agree that this was time. And so I think for the most part, you feel that this is the right move and it's going to hopefully move us forward. It's going to help us with some cap space. And more importantly, they have a plan to fill the void. Guys, again, we were in the bottom half of the league in three of the four major categories last year. Defensively, this is the side of the ball that has to get fixed. And if it doesn't, then there are going to be more problems, because then we're going to be talking about new coaches, new GMs, new front office, etc. 404-726-0929.
But Carl, we'd love to hear. I'm just going to put up a poll on. Oh, wait.
Yeah, it's not working. 404-726-0929. We'd love to hear from you if you have a thought or two, because again, it is rare where you have a guy that's been with any of our franchises for 10 years or longer, and then he's gone. And the idea of lifelong players with any franchise is a pipe dream now. Freddie was supposed to be that next guy. Freddie wasn't here. Grady Jarrett was supposed to be that guy. Grady's not here. So, Mike, when you have this, it's an unusual situation, and it's a long time for any fan base to invest in a player and support that guy, especially when he's been the character and the class guy that Grady's been.
The thing is, and the difference, a couple of guys hit me up on the text line saying, you know, what's the difference with Grady? I mean, well, Grady's coming off a knee injury. I mean, Grady had an injury, and Jake, knock wood or whatever this stuff is, you know, has not had that injury. He's basically been super durable. So that partly plays into it a little bit. You know, the offensive unit, you know, the offensive line, the cohesion there. I mean, Jake's been, as we said, he's been bedrock, you know, since he got here in 14. So it's not, to me, it's sort of apples and oranges. I don't think there's like an agenda at play, unless you guys want to make it one. But in the case of Grady, it was a bigger hit. And you're not getting the return on the investment. I don't think Grady's been the same player, fair or unfair. Now, also difficult to judge because he's been surrounded by awful talent. You know? That's why, you know, when you and I talk about free agents coming in.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Here, what is a Josh Sweat if he comes here and he's surrounded by the kind of meh that we've been putting together on this squad? So we'll get into all the angles, but one of the things I've noticed, if you've probably seen this too today, you know, in our division, you know, we saw the Bucks are making moves, they're retaining Godwin, Carolina's spending some money. Mm-hmm. And there's some reports now, by the way, it's not a done deal, as they went and got Milton Williams from the Eagles. There's apparently some talk now, some conflicting reports amongst NFL insiders about other teams are trying to go after him as well. But Carolina is spending that big cap money they've got to spend.
Well, that's, you know, the luxury when you're under the cap like these teams.
Right. And now Orange just said New England got him, right? That's reporting now that Milton Williams is going to sign with the Patriots, who actually have more money than anybody in free agency.
Well, they already went and got, I think, a corner. And now they're adding this. And again, this is Vrabel who at work here trying to retool that Patriots defense. And by the way, we didn't mention this, but we need to because it's also something we've talked about with the Falcons. And that's Drew Dahlman is set to sign a 3-year $42 million deal with the Bears. So we knew that this was a very good possibility that we were going to lose him. So the contract is reportedly to have $28 million guarantees. This is right about what was projected for Drew Dahlman being the top center, top free agent center on the market. So he's going to go to the Bears. And again, the Bears have already made 2 trades to get 2 guards. Mm-hmm. Including Thuney from the Chiefs, and now they invest in a center in Drew Dahlman to help protect Caleb Williams.
Well, it's one of those moves where Ben Johnson came in, looked at that offensive line, and said, if we're ever going to get Caleb Williams on track, we got to protect this dude. And you and I spent a lot of time on Friday. We spoke with our buddy Bryant McFadden about the free agent corners that are out there. Well, they're getting popped up and sopped up, and we're not getting any of them. DJ Reed, who we mentioned the connection to Jeff Ulbrich, Lions agreed to a contract with him. And you just mentioned New England. They picked up another guy we talked about, Carlton Davis, a free agent from the Alliance. So I know that we're waiting to see what the intentions are of Fontenot and company. Are we going to go after corners in free agency or the draft? Same goes for Edge. But right now, a couple of names that you and I have been talking about are off the board.
Yeah, there's still a lot of good corners out there, man. I mean, you know, we can talk about Javarius Ward. Mm. These guys are not old. They're in their prime, 27, 28 years old. Byron Murphy, I mean, there's still some good guys that could be available. But, yeah, Carlton Davis, 28 years old. He broke his jaw and missed a bunch of games this year, but he can play, and that's what happened. All right, we're coming back. We got plenty more to get to. Your phone calls at 404-726-0929. Your thoughts on the Falcons moving on from Grady Jarrett next. We're going to take your phone calls. We want to know what you're thinking about Grady being let go, released after 10 years by the Falcons. 404-726-0929. And look, you may or may not agree. It doesn't matter how Mike and I feel. We think this is the right decision simply because of based on where we are and how we need to improve the defense. It's not personal. It is business. Speaking of business, former Vikings quarterback, here we go. Another domino. Sam Darnold reaches an agreement, 3 years, $110 million contract, $55 million guaranteed with the Seahawks. So I talked about this over the weekend, Mike, on the weekend show, the national show, and I said this is where he's going because Clint Kubiak, right, is there. Mm. And when you start talking about, you know, all the things that add up and who's where and how guys have a connection, this just made sense because he was also in the same room when Sam Darnold was with the 49ers. He happened to be the quarterback's coach. And so all of a sudden now, I think you had a situation where Geno wanted more money. They weren't going to pay it. They trade Geno, and they get Sam Darnold, Mike, for a lot less. I'll tell you, this ain't a bad deal for Seattle.
You and I were just talking about it because, you know, this is kind of like, you know, if you were like a 49ers fan, you'd say that's basically what Brock Purdy's worth. He's not worth 50. He ain't worth 40. And Darnold, because he was so good in the regular season, but really did absolutely tank it against the good teams with the season on the line against Detroit and LA, and that's on his resume. You can't avoid it. But $33 million, it's almost like they for my money, they traded Geno, who has a ceiling, for another guy who's younger with a ceiling.
Yes.
You know, but that's Seattle. But you said it. Maybe Clint Kubiak can get the most out of it and certainly fits, you know, schematically what he was doing there. So that only time will tell, but I think that's a fair deal for both parties.
I do too. And I like it. That's, and I'll say this before we grab the phone calls, that's one more place that's not looking for a quarterback. As we talk about this, you have to think about this in the big scheme of things, not just, you know, right here in tunnel vision. As these quarterbacks start to move around, and now we've seen a bunch of teams, right? We thought the Raiders, oh, they might be in the – they got their guy.
Right.
Seattle's got their guy. Mike, the Giants, the Jets don't. The Steelers, I still believe Justin Fields is going to end up there, but whomever. You've got a couple different guys there that could end up there, but those are still three teams that are looking for quarterbacks. And you go, all right, well, would any of those three teams be interested in Kirk Cousins? Like, that's right. How we got to think about this as we continue to move forward. I don't know how it shakes out, but Darnold ends up with Seattle. Again, $110 million, $55 million guaranteed. All right, well, let's jump on the phones because we want to talk to you guys again here on the show. Cody and Roswell, thanks for listening to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You're on with Dukes and Bell. Hey, man.
Hey, man.
What's going on?
You know, first of all, I hate, you know, that this is how we're starting the league year, talking about this boring stuff. But Terry's got to start hitting on draft picks. The draft class is just, I mean, we're not getting enough production out of them. That's all there is to it, right? And right. So we're having these conversations about cutting guys and barely being under the cap. But I really wanted to, and forgive me if y'all have addressed this on the Kirk Cousins thing. I was wondering, is there a weird play here where they keep him, make him sit on the bench? Because we only save, what, $1 million on the cap for keeping him. We got to have a backup quarterback. We got to use the roster spot for it. So we don't gain a whole hell of a lot by shipping him off for nothing. Do we hold on to him until midseason when a contender actually needs a backup quarterback, when the injuries start piling up, and then you've got a desperate contender that will actually give us something? Because we don't gain anything. I mean, I've heard you say this, Mike. You want him gone. You don't want him in the locker room because you don't want Michael Penix looking over his shoulder and the fans crying, you know, as soon as something doesn't look good. But what about just holding on for the mid-season play when a contender loses their quarterback and gets desperate? I'll let y'all.
No, it's a great take, and that you basically covered all the different angles. I mean, you know, Carl, if he went to Arthur Blank and said, you basically cut me, and I'll waive the rights to the contract, but that's not what he's going to do.
you wish
he would do that, but that's not the case. You know, unless, of course, you know, his agent can facilitate with Terry some kind of trade where somebody will, in fact, give us something for him, pick up a little bit of some of that money. I don't expect anyone, Carl, to take on that salary, but anybody who can mitigate that. But to the caller's point, if you do get deeper in the season, and we're going to have to wait till a combination of as free agency plays out, and then even people who are trying to get somebody in the draft. But unfortunately, you may just have to make that post-June 1st designation you've been talking about all along and get rid of them.
Yeah, and guys, this is supply and demand. I think you bring up a very good point when you say the longer you hold on to him, right? Supply and demand, and there will be a team. We don't know who, guys. It happens every year, and we don't wish it on any team. But they're going to lose their quarterback. And the idea that you've already paid, you will have already paid, you know, $90 million. And by the way, I said this, five days after the start of the new league year, they're gonna cut him a check for $10 million. So this is why I think they're intent on holding on to him, not necessarily for what you are saying, even though that's part right. of the equation, but it does make sense. And you say, okay, so where does that go? Well, if he's on the roster, you still, you know, could trade him to a team where he could be a starter. I just think Kirk Cousins doesn't want to start the season that way. I'm with Mike. I don't think that's what he wants. He would love to be in somebody's camp, considered to be the starter, Mike, and start from day one than having to sit on our bench and wait for something catastrophic to happen somewhere else.
Right.
And then he agrees to get traded midway through the season. But what you're saying is not wrong. And that is why I think they've said what they've said. We are willing to have him as our backup.
Right. And to the caller's first point about the draft class, like, you know me, man. Terry's done some good things on offense. Some things, you know, like we spent a lot of time the last few months on Pitts. But I mean, yeah, if Rook Arorro can really step up, if Braylon Trice can be that guy, you know, if Troy Anderson can stay on the field, okay, that's good. You got a young core nucleus. We just haven't seen any of these guys play together.
Let's talk to Jermaine in Decatur, where it's greater. Jermaine, thanks for listening to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, man.
Hey. So, how y'all doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
All right. Let's talk about this thing. This whole Kirk Cousins thing, man, it's really messing us up. And then we let go of Grady Jarrett, the leader of the defense. So, I feel like now, if we don't hit in the draft with the defense, I mean, what we gonna do on defense? Because we're not gonna go nowhere.
You sound distraught, Jermaine. You really do.
We're not gonna go nowhere. I mean, do we blow it up?
No, not yet. One more year, because then somebody else is going to be in charge. Because the general manager and the coach might get got if they don't go to the playoffs or win more than 9 or 10 games.
Yeah, and here's the other thing: this is not over. Today is right. Monday, right? They still have time to restructure and do some other things, and maybe that's going on as we speak. And the point is, I still think they're going to attempt to go sign a guy or two, maybe in free agency, here to help this team defensively before we get to the draft. So, Jermaine, I just want to reserve judgment. I know it's easy to get caught up right now in this moment, and I hear you, man. And look, the Grady thing, you feel the way you do because you felt like every Sunday that dude played as hard as he could. I get it. And that's what you want from all your players, right? There are so many examples that Mike and I could tell you. We would watch practice, or we'll be up there during the starter camp, and I'm like, you know, the example is Grady. That's how you want guys to approach their career and how they play every day. So I'm with you. I hear you on that. But reserve judgment. This is not done. We're just starting right now. But I see how you could easily feel the way you do. Let's talk to KC and Dalton. KC, welcome in. You're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, man.
What's up? Put them up.
What's going on?
All right today?
Man, we're good. What's happening with you?
Yeah, I think this thing played out last year in the draft when we drafted two defensive tackles and we knew what the cap hit was going to be on Grady. I mean, unless he came out and had an all-world season, I think, as a season ticket holder, I knew his 99% chance he was gone, and probably on Yamada too if they hadn't restructured his deal last year. So I just hope we could pick up somebody with this money, but I'm afraid this thing's playing out pretty quick and we're starting to lose the opportunity to do so. And with a few draft picks, we're going to be hard-pressed to fill the needs, I'm afraid.
Are you surprised, KC, that Onyemata hasn't been released like that?
They restructured him last year, and it kind of messed him up. He had a very similar cap hit coming up, and we restructured him to pick up Simmons and Judon to pick up those contracts. So we needed the money. So that's why we're not talking about him. I still think there's some conversation to be had for our right tackle. Maybe if we need some scraps, our kicker and our punter. I mean, we're paying our kickers and punters a lot of money.
This is true.
For output. So I think you can get a. I think you'll see people start to draft kickers and punters in the late in the sixth and seventh round so you can get them under contract for cheap for a while. Because spending $5-6 million on a place kicker is a little much.
Yeah, especially when he's not doing the job. That's something we talked about last week. Onyemata is now down to 6% of the cap hit since his restructuring. But I still thought they would. I still thought they'd cut him.
Yeah, and Chris, help us. I think it's $8 million. If Mike
it,
is,
it is.
Okay, so we had talked about $8 million is $8 million. KC, great phone call, man, in Dalton. Very astute Falcon fan and understanding what's going on. And here's the deal. This is what he's alluding to, by the way. Whether we realize this or not, and the problem is we didn't see a lot of these guys, but we went D-tackle, D-end, defensive end linebacker last year. Second, third, fourth, fifth. That was our the middle of our draft. And those are the guys that Mike's talking about that we haven't seen enough of to feel like, all right, where is this thing going? But if those guys are able to pop on top of whatever you do this year, then you might be headed in the right direction.
I mean, Brandon Dorlus played in two games last year. Braylon Trice didn't play in any. He got hurt in the preseason game against the Dolphins. Rook Orororo played in eight games. So, you know, and as we said, Bergeron, I'm sorry, that's offense. On the defensive side, Troy Anderson had an amazing start to the season, then he got hurt again. You know, and he hasn't played a complete season in 3 years.
All right, guys, we're going to run down some of the deals coming up at the top of the hour because there's a lot going on around the NFL, including a monster extension for Josh Allen. Myles Garrett all of a sudden got right. DK Metcalf has a new home, as does Davante Adams. We'll continue this conversation with you on the phones at 404-726-0929. But when we come back, we're going to get to the Daily Download. Twists and turns, man, it's going down today. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You just need to be here all week, every day, all the time, because we tell you that you never know what's going to happen. So Atlanta's own Justin Fields has reached an agreement to become the new quarterback of the New York Jets.
Starting quarterback?
2 years, $40 million. That includes $30 million guaranteed.
Okay.
I just said to Mike, and look, we wish Justin nothing but the best. I don't know if this is the right decision. I'm telling you right now, Pittsburgh wanted him back bad. And I thought he might end up there. I said it just before the last segment. Like, he's still going to have a chance to go back there. Mike, I don't know what was done, what was said, or whatever.
How did Pittsburgh want him, though, to come back and start?
That I don't know. But my guess is if they had the – if he would have gone back there, they were not going to have anybody else competing with him. They weren't going to do a deal like they did last year where they had, you know, what's his name? Russell there. Nevertheless, he's going to the Jets. So now what's this mean for Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, now obviously Russell Wilson is not going to be in Pittsburgh either because everything you're hearing is about Aaron Rodgers now. A lot of ink about that the last 24 hours. The other thing with Fields is, did he not trust Arthur Smith in his camp?
I don't know.
Maybe not trust Tomlin in his camp? That, you know, if he stayed in Pittsburgh, he'd have another crack at being a starter?
Well, I don't think they would have offered him, Mike, if he wasn't going to be the starter. Like, this is why, you know, the idea is teams are going to bring in backups. All these teams do. But I'm not going to accept a deal if I'm Justin. And I know his agent really well. His agent also did the deal for, you know, the $230 million guaranteed deal that everybody for Deshaun Watson. David Malagueta. He's not going to accept a deal if he was not going to be starting somewhere. So I just don't know if this is the right place. Again, we're going to see if Aaron Glenn has his stuff together and if they're able to build, Mike. But 2 years, and then maybe he's either making a whole lot more money or he's on to somewhere else.
Right. So we were talking about the musical chairs of quarterback, and as a caller brought up last segment, I mean, how does it play out for the Falcons if you do play the sort of game of chicken, you know, and you hold on to Cousins and hope that somebody comes to you? Because right now, Steelers, there's a lot of, as we said, linkage to Aaron Rodgers. Jets just signed Justin Fields. Seattle just signed Sam Darnold. You know, the Geno Smith trade already, that precludes the Vegas Raiders. So then you start to say, well, who's going to come after Cousins? You know, what teams, now that are out there, they're still looking for, you know, perhaps would you feel Cleveland might as another stopgap just until they finally get rid of Deshaun Watson, get him off the books? You just start to run out of places for Kirk Cousins to go.
You do. And that's not what we want.
Like, no, this is not. All these things we just talked about is not good for the Falcons.
As a fan base, we are hoping to have as many potential slots open as, you know.
I mean, the Giants, hypothetically, if they, you know, if somebody snakes them, if they go for Shedeur Sanders, you know, the presumption is Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders could be gone. But with the Giants, the Giants are even, you talked about it last week, even linking to Aaron Rodgers about 10 days ago.
Well, look, your options are running out. And if you wanted to go young, all right, Sam Darnold was the premier young guy and that you could sign. And now we see it wasn't going to take $40 million a year to do it. So now you're running out of young guys that potentially could start for you. Now you got to go to the second tier, which is the older guys. Doesn't mean they're bad or worse. Right. It's just they're older. And then you go, all right, well, if that doesn't work, then we got to find a way to move up in this draft. Or maybe you don't. Maybe you just stay put, Mike, and you go, you know what? They're not taking six quarterbacks in the first 15. One of these guys that we like is going to be there, and we just roll the dice. I just don't think any of these guys are franchise quarterbacks in this draft, though.
It will be interesting to see, and I saw some stuff today on NFL Network about the Colts, and boy, they are really kind of trying to light a fire under Anthony Richardson.
What are they doing now?
Well, they're not happy. It sounds to me like they're potentially, Carl, you know, they got Flacco there, Ellinger. I mean, they may try to go maybe for a real competition. You know, to bring in maybe as a free agent. That might sound like a long shot for a Kirk Cousins. And again, they might just wait for the Falcons, maybe outright release him. But the stories are that they're not happy that he doesn't fit Shane Steichen's offense. And now they're just figuring that out, apparently, 3 years into the experiment.
Happy Phil should have figured that out when they drafted him. Either way, if they bring in a real competition situation for him, then you're telling me he could lose his job. And then you're telling me you blew the pick. Because if that happens, then, you know, he was certainly not going as high or worthy of going as high as you did pick him. 404-726-0929. What's up, O?
The Cowboys have made a signing, guys.
Free agent?
Free agent.
Shocking.
Actually, no, they're re-signing a guy. I'm sorry. Long snapper Trent Sieg.
You know what? You stop it there.
Come on.
Although, again, long snapper is a specific skill set, Carl, and you've got to have one.
Whatever.
You know who else re-signed their long snapper? Just saying.
Yeah. Falcons did. We stepped up.
I heard.
Liam McCullough.
You know what? This is news today, people. That was not news. By the way, let me read this to you. Guy says the Drew Dahlman, losing Drew Dahlman hurts. Do you feel that way?
Well, if Ryan Neusel hadn't been able to step in and do a decent job, I mean, how do you – see, that's the thing. When you look at our offense, Cousins couldn't deliver the ball on time and on schedule and was making terrible decisions. And then the rookie came in, was 1-2 against, you know, two good teams. We lost – I mean, well, check that. Shouldn't have lost to Carolina. The defense let you down. Did you notice – that's the thing. We and I talked about this last week. Did you notice Drew Dahlman wasn't out there when Neusel stepped in?
No.
I mean, since Bergeron has come in, they've really secured the middle of the offensive line.
And Bijan ran the ball pretty well. I mean, like, you know, again, Bijan was a 1,000-yard-plus guy. You're right, Mike. I can't tell you that his absence made me go, what the hell is going on with this offensive line?
And as we said, we knew that there was going to be a cost involved with Drew Dahlman, and we weren't trying to be mean-spirited about it. But, yeah, you're right. I'm just kind of like I always felt like it wasn't a slam dunk to bring him back. And now, if you like Neusel, now maybe you go for some depth. And the only other real free agent would be the guy from the Packers, who's kind of a mixed bag.
Yeah.
Described as a mixed bag by a lot of the publications.
People are saying, you know, Drew Dahlman took less money. Less money than anticipated for what was supposed to be the going rate with him being the top free agent center.
Right.
Not less money as in the Falcons offered him and he took less money. That's not what people are saying. That's not what's actually happening. So,
and Neusel's a restricted free agent, so we have to give him a contract.
Okay. But if you see that, understand that this isn't a competition where the Falcons offered him. 3 years, $42 million, guys, is projected about where he was supposed to land.
Right.
And, you know, again, he goes to Chicago. They're trying to rebuild their offensive line. But we always say this. Free agency is about can you pay? If you can pay, guys are going to come.
And, you know, as you know, sometimes guys that aren't necessarily the greatest. A guy last week hit us up on the text line and said, man, I didn't realize Drew Dahlman was Alex Mack. But it's just what the market will bear. And if someone needs a center, someone's going to pay for it. So, yeah, we've seen guys that aren't the best of their position reset the market. It's happened before. This is not a reset, but it's a big contract.
It is. This hour is brought to you by Padley. Guys, sell your home for cash fast. PADLY buys. .com. Let's go back to the phones, Mike. And again, our daily download as we're talking about all the moves that are going on around the NFL, the latest, should we say, and literally two quarterbacks, boom, boom. Sam Darnold goes to Seattle, and then Justin Fields goes to the Jets. Go ahead.
Sorry, the guy, I couldn't remember the name. I don't know if we have any interest in it, but Josh Myers is the Packers center who's going to be hitting the open market, in case you were looking for a – if you want to feel that Neusel's not the guy, I don't know how many – there's not many centers out there. That's the point.
Here's the thing. We have to be very careful about the positions we are paying. And you've got to pick the right position guys to pay. Right now, with where we are, I'm okay with this accepting that Neusel's going to step in, Mike, and he's going to get a raise, and that'll be great. But we're not paying our center $15, $20 million.
No. And with a guy making just a tick under $1 million, I don't know what that would look like necessarily, but it would not break the bank. But we still got to – that's why we're still expecting more guys to be restructured between now and Wednesday.
Absolutely. All right, Scott in the ATL, thanks for your patience, man. I want to get you on, and we'll grab Shane as well in Fayetteville. But, Scott, go ahead. What are your thoughts on what's going on with our Falcons? Hey, man.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Listen, I think it's a bittersweet day. Grady's been one of the most consistent factors surrounding this turmoil as us as a franchise and just some awful play over the years. But he's also been one of the most respected players among his peers as well. If you watch, you know, some of those NFL Network shows, people have a lot of great things to say about him. So there's no taking away that he's, been a great player. But if you take emotion out of it, he's just not the Grady he was in his prime. Mm. But we can't feel bad about him because I do feel that, you know, he'll be in the Falcons' Ring of Honor one day. So right. from a fan base, we need to remember that. I have two other points I wanted to make. You know, the Falcons were a liability on the defensive line last year. They were one of the very worst in the entire league. So saying – a lot of the fan base is saying he's one of the best defensive lines we've had on, you know, last year. But that's not saying much because, you know, his production has fallen off. It was a horrible defensive line. And I feel strongly that if we were marginally better on defense last year, not only do we make the playoffs, but we win. We probably at least win one playoff game. I feel like going into 2025 with Michael Penix on offense, our potential is through the roof, and we're going to win games offensively. But if we want to take that next step as a franchise, as a city, and win a championship, we've got to answer these hard questions. We've got to make these hard choices. We've got to get better on the defensive line. And I like this move. I'm grateful for Grady as a fan, but I like this move because I want to get better. I want to win a championship, and I want to answer those hard questions and say, look, we've got to get better. We've got to follow teams like the Eagles who showed that they can get four. They can use four and get pressure on Mahomes with just four. I want to build through the draft. I want to get younger, and I think that we can do it, and I like where we're going. So I hope that our younger players and our draft picks this year are up to par for the task. But I do like this move, and I'm grateful for what Grady has done. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. Appreciate you. Glad you get a chance to express yourself, and we want to hear from you as well. 404-726-0929. As I said, 10 years is a long time in any sport. And when we lose guys, it's why we felt the way we did when the Freddie situation played out the way it did. You know, we didn't like it. We understood it, but we didn't like it. And I think with Grady, you know, you could say the same thing, but you know, our team turned right back around and you know, I'm talking about the Braves and still were really good. And you have to believe, and this is the problem, Mike, and to his point, and Shane, I'm going to grab you 1 second, but to his point, do you believe in the plan? Because
well, I don't know what the plan is.
Well, but where we've been as a, I'm talking about the Falcons now, where we've been, it's hard to figure out where the plan is going. So you have a hard time believing that what he just said, we're moving in the right direction. We are making the right decisions. Hey, this thing is going to happen. But it's hard to believe that.
Now, look, we've never surrounded Grady with great talent. You know, that's the end-all, be-all here. Look, Grady signed a big contract. If you go back and look at it, back in 19, that was a four-year, $68 million deal.
Big deal then.
And then back in 22, he got a three-year, $50 million extension. So I got a lot of guys like, oh, effing Falcons. The Falcons did not do Grady dirty, guys, by any stretch. He's been paid like a top-five interior lineman that he is. So, I mean, look, I'm not trying to be a company man here, but I'm just saying, you know, I think you got to screw in your headgear because when you are you are the highest paid lineman on a terrible defense that doesn't sack the quarterback, eventually you become expendable. So but take the sentimentality out of it.
It's hard. Shane in Fayetteville, you know it. I know it. I'm with you. Shane, welcome in. You're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What do you think about what's going on? Hey, man.
Hey, for years, the Falcons have been accused of being sentimental. And everyone complained and they wanted change. And now we got the change we had. It was time for him to go. It's time for the team to start making some real, what's considered mean or heartless decisions because the results ain't there to be had. And the great Carl Duke said something last week that has been ringing in my head for weeks, well, for a while now, is that if you're a lineman and you're over 30, I don't want you.
I don't want you.
And yeah. I'm right there with him, lockstep with that. As far as Kirk Cousins go, leaving by, I keep him here until he rocks. Until he's on his knees begging on TV to be released, you gain nothing from cutting him. All right. So just write him language.
And that's what I think they're going to do. Shane, thanks in Fayetteville, man. Appreciate you listening, as always. I think that's what they're going to do. Again, that's a decision I know that a lot of us, including Mike and I, look, we are adamant about where we stand with this just because of the way this all played out.
the Falcons have a financial interest to make the best decision for the team right now. We just don't like the way it played out, and we want him gone.
Right.
But they say, wait a minute, look at all this damn money we've invested. We can still use him in a way and hopefully maneuver this and make it work better. And that's the part where I don't have the patience, and I know you don't.
No, I mean, look, if they can find a way to finesse a couple million dollars off of this deal, save some cap space, and find a way to get a pick for him, that's great. But again, we said this was a 100-to-1 shot. We said this to you about 3 weeks ago. And now, as we said, looks like Steelers, sounds like they're going with Rodgers. Jets just signed, Justin Fields. Everybody else is starting to fall into place. Sam Darnold just went to Seattle. So, as we said, you're going to start to run out of a team that may have a market for Kirk Cousins, or a team that might want him as a backup, or perhaps to be a stopgap guy, but they'll wait for us to just cut him. So there's a risk involved. Look, either way, if you assume we're never going to get anything for him, you can play this game and just do a post-June 1st designation, right?
Yeah.
I think that's the way you approach it.
Yeah.
And I got no problem with that. I would love to have known, the logic behind having two quarterbacks that year. That ship has sailed. The sentimentality thing kicks in. The Patriots would never, and when Belichick was running things, Carl, they never would have, when Julio said, I want more money, Belichick would have traded him. We gave Julio an extension 3 years into a deal.
That's right.
In the middle of the 2019 season.
And it screwed everything.
And then that's where we got to where Terry inherited in 2021.
You're absolutely right. And here's the other thing. All those guys that Mike's talking about with Belichick that he let go or traded were all really good players.
But good teams make those hard financial decisions.
Including the guy that's their new head coach in Vrabel and Teddy Bruschi. All those guys were good players. Let them go. We're coming back. We got more to get to, guys. Daily Downloads brought to you by ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. Josh Allen and his deal is ridiculous. We'll tell you about that and why Myles Garrett had a change of heart. It's the NFL free agency period, guys. This week is going to be crazy, and it's already started. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.